It's time for the November edition of Mars Stars. For this episode, we are honored to welcome Pastor Donnie Parrott from Kentucky. For the next hour, be prepared to be totally entertained and enthralled. And here we go. Welcome to the November edition of Mars Stars. Glad so many of you came out. I think we're going to have a wonderful time tonight. I really did not know this gentleman that we're interviewing at all. He came under very high recommendation by a lot of people. And just the little bit of time that we have had the opportunity to converse, it's just been really a pleasure getting to know him just a little bit. And I'm sure after this episode tonight, we're going to all get to know him a lot more. He has a lot of facets to his life, and we're going to dive right in. So let's make welcome to Mars Stars, Donnie Parrott.
Thank you, guys. It is truly an honor and a privilege for me to be here tonight.
Well, it is for us, too. So I guess we'll get some background information, first of all, just to kind of lay the foundation for where you came from and where you are now. So tell us a little bit about your early childhood and family situation.
You ask where I came from. I came from my mom. That's what I tell everybody. But my name is Donnie Parrott. I am 63 years old. Next Thursday, I will be 64. My mom and dad took me to church for the first time when I was 2 weeks old. I was born on December 4th, 1961. So I guess probably on about somewhere around Christmas, 1961, I attended my first church service. To be honest with you, I don't remember a whole lot about that first service. I've been in church all of my life, and I thank God for my Christian upbringing. When I was 6 years old, I was in the first grade, and the last 2 weeks of school, I got to having really bad headaches in the afternoon. Sometime after lunch, the last 2 weeks of school, I started having the real bad headaches. My head would hurt so bad, I would have to lay my head over on my desk and I would cry. And of the last 10 days of school of 1968, my mom probably had to come and get me about 7 of those 10 days. I just hurt so bad. So the day after school was out, she took me to an ear, nose, and throat specialist in Richmond, Kentucky. By the way, we lived in Jackson County, Kentucky. It's in southeastern Kentucky. And within about 10 minutes, he found out that I had a brain tumor. They sent me straight to the University of Kentucky Medical Center, where they found out that the brain tumor that I had was the size of a baseball. And at that time, which has been 57 years ago, almost 58 years ago, the doctors had never seen a child that small with a tumor that large, which was the size of a baseball. So they sat my parents down and they prepared them for me to die. But of course, you can tell I didn't die. The only thing that happened, they damaged the optic nerves while they were removing the brain tumor. That was the only repercussions that occurred from the surgery. For about 3 days, I was totally blind. I couldn't see anything. And then my vision got to where I could, you know, recognize people if they were up close. I couldn't really tell what they looked like or what color clothing they wore, but I could see a little bit. I asked my eye doctor one time if there was any way that I could tell people when they asked me, Donnie, how much vision do you have? And I always, the first answer I give them, I have just enough vision to be dangerous because I will try anything. And you can ask my wife that, and she will say, amen, he's telling the truth. My eye doctor told me that I have about 2.5% of normal vision, which isn't much, but I'm thankful for what I do have. I had to have a home teacher for the next 2 years after the brain tumor surgery. So then when I got ready to go back to school, I was supposed to be in fourth grade, but my first cousin, Sharon, who lived next door to us, was going to be in the third grade. So they thought that it might be good, since the 2 years I had a home teacher only had school for 2 days a week. So they went ahead and put me in third grade so Sharon could be there to help me. So I went through elementary school and I went through high school. I didn't even know there was a school for the blind at that time, or I would have probably went to Louisville, Kentucky, to the school for the blind. And when I graduated high school, I went into college. That was in the fall of 1980, and I was wanting to major in journalism. I went to Asbury College. Some of you might remember the great revival that broke out there a couple years ago. It was in Wilmore, Kentucky. It's near Lexington, Kentucky. I didn't have any of the visual equipment that I have now, and I was only able to stay for 7 weeks, and I had to drop out. I just couldn't keep up with all the reading and all the note-taking and everything that you have to do in college. So I went 7 weeks, and I had to drop out of college. And in August of 1982, I felt the Lord calling me into the ministry. So I accepted the call into the ministry in August of 1982. This past August made 43 years that I've been in the ministry. I met a cute little girl at church about that time. Her name was Lisa, and she and I started dating, and we got married in May of 1983. Lisa graduated high school on, I think it was May the 10th, and we got married on May 28th. That was in 1983, and then we had two sons, Brad. Our oldest son will be 40 in January, and our youngest son, Nathan, is 38, and he lives in Georgetown, Kentucky, and Brad is currently our pastor here at Souls Harbor Church. We have four grandchildren. Our first two grandchildren were born within 2 days of each other. In fact, Sunday was our oldest grandchild, Brady, that's Brad's son. He turned 11 years old, and today is Harper. That's our oldest granddaughter. That's Nathan's little girl. She turned 11 today. And then Harper has a little brother named Nash. He is 9. And Harper Nash has a little stepsister named Allie. She is 8. So Lisa and I are blessed with 4 wonderful, beautiful grandchildren. And all of you know the story about how Harper, who turned 11 today, had to have open heart surgery a couple weeks ago, and how God just miraculously brought her through that. And we're so thankful. But Lisa and I pastored in Jackson County for over 23 years. And 3 years ago, this past July, well, a little bit before that, Brad had just taken the lead pastorship here at Souls Harbor Church in London, Kentucky, which we're about 38 miles from the Tennessee border as you go up I-75. I-75 is about 500 feet from our house. So he's talked to me and Lisa. He said, Mom and Dad said, if I ever needed you, said, I could sure use you now. So we started praying about it, and he started praying about it. His board told him to tell us that if we were willing to move up here and help him, that we could live right here beside the church in the church parsonage. So at the beginning of July of 2022, I announced to our church that I was going to be resigning at the end of the month. So we resigned in July of 2022 and moved here. We've been here a little over 3 years. And guys, in my 43 years of ministry, I don't know if I've ever been more happy and more content than I am right now, being able to help Brad, which is my son, and our pastor here at Souls Harbor. And when people heard that we were going to be resigning and moving here to help Brad, they asked, what's your position going to be when you get to Souls Harbor? And I told them, I said, well, if you know anything about baseball, just call me and Lisa utility infielders, because we will play anywhere. And that's what we've done. Brad has me preach on Wednesday nights, and Lisa sings on Wednesday night. I play my guitar in our Wednesday night service. I play the bass in our church band on Sunday. Lisa and I both have taught Sunday school classes, and I do ventriloquism. In fact, you're going to meet my little buddy Clyde here in a few minutes. I've done several children's church services with him, and I told Brad when we first came here, I said, Brad, I want you to know that every time that I walk through the doors of Souls Harbor Church, I'm ready to preach. I said, that doesn't mean that I'm coming to preach, but I want you to know, if you get sick at the last minute or if something happens and at the last minute you need to call on me, you can be assured that I've got something ready. I told him, I said, I won't guarantee that it's something burning in my heart, but I will be ready. And he's had to do that a couple times over the past 3 years that we've been here. But that's my life in a nutshell. And I'm just so thankful that God is allowing us the opportunities that we have here. A bunch from our church goes to a local nursing home every Wednesday, and we do a service there. And Brad just keeps us busy, and I'm so thankful for what God's doing in our life.
Wow, that's quite a whirlwind tour there. Thank you. That's very interesting. So a couple of additional questions. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I'm the oldest of three. At the end of this year, of course, my birthday is coming up next week, and my brother's birthday is the 27th of December. So at the end of the year, I will be 64, my sister will be 61, and my brother will be 58. So I'm the oldest of three.
So you are now assistant preacher, I guess you could say. Is there anything in your career of being a pastor that stands out? Any experiences that really have kind of made an impression on you as a pastor?
Yes, one of the greatest events of my being a pastor happened at the church where I pastored for over 20 years. It's called the House of Prayer. It was a non-denominational church. Several times people would ask me, Donnie, you know, what kind of church is House of Prayer? Is it Pentecostal? Is it Baptist? Is it Methodist? What is it? I said, we're non-denominational. They said, well, what kind of church is that? And the way I would tell them, I'd say, well, I've been raised Pentecostal all of my life. It was a thrill for me to be able to pastor a non-denominational church. And I would tell people that we were a little too Pentecostal for most Baptists and a little too Baptist for most Pentecostals. And, you know, there's a whole lot of people that fall into that category. But to answer your question, back in March of 2005, we'd been pastoring at House of Prayer for about 7 years. We started there in April of 1998. Lisa and I had heard an evangelist here at Souls Harbor who was in a revival. His name was Daniel Couch from Huntsville, Alabama. And I invited him to come to House of Prayer for a Sunday through Wednesday, little four-night revival. So he came. Nobody at House of Prayer knew Daniel except me and Lisa. Little did we know what God was getting ready to do in that little country church of about 40 members. But Daniel was scheduled to be there Sunday through Wednesday. The Spirit of God got to moving, and we ended up going 4.5 weeks in that revival. There was 120 people got saved during that revival at that little country church. There were many nights that we had 200 to 250 people, and our church would only seat 100. We had chairs sitting in our fellowship hall. We had people standing, sitting on the stairs, going up to the sound room, sitting back in the nursery, everywhere. Probably 90 to 95% of the salvations during that 4.5 week revival was high school kids from the Jackson County High School. It stirred Jackson County High School up so much, the principal called me. We were in about the third week of the revival and wanted to know if I would bring Daniel. Well, Daniel actually had to bring me over for an assembly one morning. So Daniel said he would go. We went over that particular morning, and the principal told Daniel he had from 9 to 9:30. So they brought all of the students, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, into the gym. Daniel preached from about 9 to about 9:25, and he gave an altar call. And kids started coming out of those bleachers like herds of buffalo. An hour and a half later, there was tears, sweat, and mascara on that gym floor from one end to the other, and 136 students gave their heart to Jesus at the Jackson County High School that morning. So that is the outstanding moment and memory of my ministry.
Whoa, that is pretty incredible. My goodness. Well, so we have heard about Clyde, and so I think it's about time that you introduced him to us and tell us a little about him, or maybe he'll tell us a little about him.
All right. Clyde wanted to come and see you guys today, so let's get him out here. Hey, Clyde, why don't you say hello to everybody today?
Hello, everybody. I am so glad to see you, or at least hear you today.
Hey, Donnie.
What, Clyde?
I need to go to the bathroom. Well, Clyde, we're doing a skit right now. Just wait a minute, and you can go to the bathroom just a little bit later. Clyde, do you know what's happening in a couple of days?
I sure do. It's Lisa's birthday.
Well, Clyde, that was a couple weeks ago. I'm talking about in a couple of days. Do you know what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. In a couple of days, it's going to be Black Friday.
Clyde, that's still not the answer I'm looking for, little buddy.
Then what are you talking about?
I'm talking about Thanksgiving, Clyde.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite times of the year.
Oh, really? And why's that?
Because it's turkey, 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 and turkey.
Clyde, Thanksgiving is about more than turkey.
I know. You got to have some mashed potatoes, some dressing, and my favorite, cranberry sauce.
Oh, that's my favorite, too, the cranberry sauce.
Hey, Donnie, I really need to go to the bathroom.
Well, Clyde, just hang on a minute. We're in the middle of a skit here. You can do that a little bit later. Hey, Clyde, Thanksgiving is a time of being thankful.
You dare to believe it. At the end of that day, my tank will be full.
Clyde, I'm talking about giving thanks, being appreciative, or showing gratitude.
Oh, I get it now.
Clyde, finally. What's some of the things that you're thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful to be out of that docks. And I would really, really, really be thankful if you'd just take me to the bathroom.
Clyde, now come on. Aren't you thankful for anything else?
I'd be mighty thankful if you'd get your hand out of the back of my shirt. Donnie has to have his hand in everything I do.
Come on, Clyde. What's something that you're really thankful for?
Donnie, I'm really thankful for you.
Clyde, that's so nice of you to say.
I'm thankful that you got a fat leg. It's so comfortable for me to sit on. Come on now, Clyde. Let's get serious. I know. I'm just having a little fun here. So, Clyde, you know, we're supposed to thank God in everything. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians to be thankful in all things. You mean I got to be thankful when I'm in the docks? Yeah, when you're in your box, because it's a good warm place to be, and it's a good safe place to be. Even though when you put me in the docks, you fold my legs up and my feet is right up the side of my ears. Yep. In all things, the Bible says, be thankful. You know, it doesn't say that we have to be thankful for all things, but we need to be thankful in all things. No matter what we're going through, we can be thankful. Okay, Clyde, you mentioned something about going somewhere at the end of the week. Yep, the day after Thanksgiving, I'm going Black Friday shopping. Ho ho! Donnie, I really, really, really need to go somewhere else right now. Oh, where's that? To the little boy's room. Now, come on, Clyde, we're almost done. Just hang on. Clyde, is anybody else going Black Friday shopping with you? Of course. Lisa's going with me. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, my big dummy is going with me, too. Clyde. All right, Clyde. We've done enough. It's time for us to go. Yeah, Clyde, we've got to go. It's time to go. Yes, Clyde, we've got to go. No. Clyde, why are you saying that it's not time to go? I can't go because I just went. Oh, no, Clyde. Oh, Clyde, you have messed. Oh, Clyde, I told you I had to go. Clyde, oh, we're in a mess here, buddy. Why did you do? Oh, Clyde, I told you that I had to go. Hey, Donnie. What, Clyde? I wrote a poem to these wonderful people here on DIT. Can I say it? Sure, Clyde, you can say it. That's very thoughtful of you. Violets are blue and roses are red. I hope you listen to what I have said. Don't eat too much on Friday morning. Don't eat too much, but just eat a little of this and a little of that. And don't eat too much or you'll surely get fat. But before I go, I just want to say, thanks for having me and my big dunny today. And happy Thanksgiving to all of you. All right, Clyde. Go ahead and say goodbye to everybody. Good day, Parker. Clyde, there's 20-something people on here. Say goodbye to everybody. Good day, Parker. Clyde, stop it now. You're hurting people's feelings. Say goodbye to everybody. Good day, Parker. Clyde, why are you just saying goodbye to Parker? Because he thinks he is everybody. Clyde, now that wasn't nice. Really, say goodbye to everybody, Clyde. Good day, everybody. It has been so much fun to be here. All right, Clyde, here you go back into your box. On in the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. All right, good night, Clyde. Hope you guys enjoyed Clyde.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was fun. Oh, right. Well, thank you so much for sharing. That was really great. Oh, we've got a little bit of time yet. The other thing that you said that you might do is you might do a song for us. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, talk for just a minute. Let me get my guitar ready.
Well, this has been an interesting interview. Wow, I don't think I've ever seen anybody cover so much ground in such a little bit of time. That was amazing. Me, I start talking about my life and I kind of hem and haw and whatever else. I hope you all have had as much fun as I have.
I think I got my mic locked in. So I'm going to sing a couple of funny songs for you. The last thing I do today, I want to sing my favorite gospel song for you. Right now is a couple of funny ones. In my 43 years of ministry, I've often thought, you know, if I could sum my ministry up in one word, what would it be? And I was thinking one day, and I thought encourager. I love encouraging people. I like to make people laugh and feel good and just put a smile on their face. And by the way, I send out a little daily email devotion called Donnie Daily Gems. I'm in my 20th year of that. Starting in January will be my 21st year. It has a little daily devotion, a little thought of the day, and a daily Bible reading. On January 1st, I send out the first three chapters of Genesis. Then on January 2nd, the chapters 4, 5, and 6, and so on. And by the end of the year, we have read completely through the Bible. And this year, starting in January, I'm going to be adding something to that. In my all of my years of reading the Bible through, I have come up with what I feel would be one of the key verses in each book of the Bible. So there's 66 books of the Bible, so it will take us all of 2026 and up through April of 2027 to get through this. But each week on Monday, I'm going to be sending out the memory scripture for the week. Like the first week in January will be the one that the verse I picked out for Genesis, and then the second week in January will be the one I picked out from Exodus. So by the end of the 66 weeks, we will be able to say that we can quote a verse from every book of the Bible. So if anybody would like to have me put you on the mailing list for my Donnie Daily Gems, as soon as I get off, I will post it to the VIP group, the information on how you can send your information to me, and I'll be glad to add you to that. But I'm going to do a couple of funny songs, and then, like I said, the last thing that I want to do for my part this evening will be sing my all-time favorite Christian song. Here's a song. This woman went to a man one day, told her she'd like to have a brand new fur coat. So here's how the song goes. Hope you can hear the guitar here. Since all her friends has got one, my wife wants one too. A new knee-length fuzzy fur coat. She said nothing else would do. She said it'd make her feel real classy, and I'd be so proud of her if I'd just break down and buy her a fur. Now that got me to thinking, how am I going to swing that sort of deal? The Lord knows I can't afford it, and it's wrong to steal. But the problem finally solved itself like a boat out of the blue. It jumped right out in front of me on Highway 22. That big old German Shepherd, my car he did not see. Now he's in doggy heaven, but his hide belongs to me. For 3 weeks in the basement, I worked late most every night. It was mostly trial and error that I finally got it right. Then I put it in a cardboard box and I carried it upstairs to her. Oh, she is tickled pink with her new fur. Now she's got a fancy fur coat. It reaches all the way to her knees. But she's been complaining lately. She says her closet's full of fleas. She don't know Fido is wrapped around her tight. She's really putting on the dog when she goes out at night. Now she's been depressed here lately since I backed out over the cat. But I think she's going to feel much better when I give her this new fur hat. All right. Now I'm going to sing one more song for you. Most of you will remember an old song from back in the 50s and 60s. It's called The Green, Green Grass of Home. It's a sad song. It's about this man who goes back to the old home place and nothing is the same. Well, those of you who know me, you know that I don't like sad things. I like to make people laugh and smile. So here's my version of Green, Green Grass of Home. I hope it will touch you all the way down to your gizzard. Here's how it goes. The old outhouse, it's still standing. The catalog, it's torn and it's gone. And there are the two oak seats we used to sit on. Down the lane I'd run, sometimes I'd make it, and other times I'd have to fake it. That's why we've got such green, green grass at home. I see you guys been down that path before. All right, let me unkey here.
Oh my, that's good. And you said that you had a gospel song that you wanted to sing, and then we'll open it up for a few questions.
Okay, this is my all-time favorite song. I heard this song back in the 1970s. It was by B.J. Thomas. A beautiful song. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not. But this is my all-time favorite Christian song. It's called Home Where I Belong. They say that heaven's pretty and living here is too. But if they said that I would have to choose between the two, I go home, going home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise. But if you'd look and see that homesick feeling in my eyes, I'm headed home. I'm going home where I belong. While I'm here, I'll serve him gladly and sing him all these songs. I'm here, but not for long. And when I'm feeling lonely, and when I'm feeling blue, it's such a joy to know that I am only passing through, 'cause I'm headed home. I'm going home where I belong. In one day I'm going to be sleeping when death knocks on my door. Then I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore, 'cause I'll be home. Yes, I'll be home where I belong.
That is a neat song. I don't think I've ever heard that. Well, thank you so much, Donnie, for singing for us and for bringing Clyde to entertain us. And so now we're going to open the floor up for questions from those of us who are here listening. So it's open to you folks now.
Donnie, this is Becky.
I just want to say how much I enjoyed that song you sang. That was beautiful. I really enjoyed that. And I wanted to ask you about when you were in school as a youngster. I think you said you didn't really have any kind of special assistance or no one to really help. Did you have the same amount of sight then as you do now?
Yeah, I had the same amount of sight, you know, then that I've got now. The Lord just blessed me to get through school. I didn't even know anything about the School for the Blind. Like I said, I graduated high school in May of 1980. I didn't know about the School for the Blind until 1989. I went there for a couple weeks to learn Braille. All that I know in Braille is grade one. So I really don't know, you know, a lot about Braille. And then in 2002, I went back for 2 weeks to learn how to use JAWS and the computer.
And Donnie, my question is could you tell everybody about your son, Brad, and how he started his ministry and how old he was?
In August of 1996, I was the youth pastor and assistant pastor at Seven Pines Pentecostal Church. In fact, the last 2 years that I pastored from 20 to 22, I was called back to that church to be their pastor. So it was like me and Lisa going home. But we were having a back-to-school revival in August of 1996. And Brad had always talked about, you know, wanting to preach. Brad was 10 years old at that time. And I asked him if he'd like to speak one night in our back-to-school revival. He said, Dad, said I'll pray about it and I'll let you know. So on Friday, Brad told me that he wanted to preach the next night. So he told me what his thought he wanted. He wanted to preach on God's gift from John 3:16. So I sat down and I helped him fix a little outline. And he preached that night. And it was absolutely wonderful. He was 10 years old when he preached his first sermon. And I don't mean he preached when he was 10 and then preached again when he was 12. When people heard that a 10-year-old was preaching, he was almost book solid with youth revivals and going for, you know, one night preachings and different things. So Brad's already been preaching. This past August made 29 years that Brad's already been in the ministry, and he'll just be 40 in January. But let me tell you this neat little story about Brad. He was preaching one time for me at House of Prayer. He was about 12 at this time. And, you know, we're all guilty of thinking something in our head, and when it comes out of our mouth, it doesn't match. So this particular time, like I said, Brad's about 12 years old. He's preaching about things God created. And Brad goes, God created the sunshine. And so help me, guys. The next words out of his mouth was, and God made the moonshine too. You talk about getting a lot of people's attention. That statement, when he said God made the moonshine too. Of course, you know, he was talking about the sun and the moon, but you can realize how we all took it.
I bet everybody cracked up.
Yeah, it sounds like he is a chip off the old block, right?
Oh, he is. Let me tell you guys this one little quick story. Most of you can remember the old Hee-Haw show. I could stay on here all night telling you funny stories and jokes, and sometime we'll just have to have a entertainment night or something, and I'll come back and do all that. But there was a segment on the old Hee-Haw show called Archie's Barbershop. Archie Campbell was the barber, and Roy Clark would come in and sit in the barber chair to get a haircut. And while Archie was cutting Roy's hair, he would tell him a bedtime story, but he would twist the words around. So the one that he told all the time was about the three little pigs. And here's the way that Archie Campbell would tell the three little pigs. But he didn't call it the three little pigs. He called it the pea little thrigs. So it goes like this. Once upon a time, there were pea little thrigs. Actually, there were pie of little figs. There was Pomma Mig and Pother Fig. Well, the first of the pea little thrigs set out to peek his fortune, and as he went down the road of life, he saw a man widen a ragging. The man that was widen a ragging saw a strode of law. So the piddling said, "Mister, would you sell me that strode of law?" He said, "I'd like to heal me a bouse. I'd like to heal me a hall strouse." So the piddling been a strouse out of hall. Long came the wid bad boof. He said, "Piddleg, piddleg, let me in." Piddleg said, "Now by the chair, my henny hen him." Wid bad boof said, "We'll huff and I'll puff and I'm going to hold your blouse down." So he huffed and he puffed and he hold his blouse down and he ate up the piddleg. So the second of the pea little thrigs set out to peek his fortune, and as he went down the road of life, he saw a man widen a ragging. The man that was widen a ragging saw a stoat of licks. So the piddleg said, "Mister, would you sell me that stoat of licks?" He said, "I'd like to heal me a bouse. I'd like to heal me a hick stouse." So the piddleg been a stouse out of hicks. Long came the wid bad boof. He said, "Piddleg, piddleg, let me in." Piddleg said, "Not by the chair, my henny hen hen." Wid bad boof said, "We'll huff and I'll puff and I'm going to hold your blouse down." So he huffed and he puffed and he hold his blouse down. He ate up the piddleg. So the third of the pea little thrigs set out to peek his fortune. As he went down the road of life, he saw a man widen a ragging. Man that was widen a ragging saw a brood of licks. So the piddleg said, "Mister, would you sell me that brood of licks?" He said, "I'd like to heal me a bouse. I'd like to heal me a hicks brouse." So the piddleg been a brouse out of hicks. Long came the wid bad boof. He said, "Piddleg, piddleg, let me in." Piddleg said, "Now by the chair, my henny hen him." Wid bad boof said, "We'll huff and I'll puff and I'm going to hold your blouse down." Piddleg said, "No yarn, because I say I'm." 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 They was having an argument what they were doing. So anyway, the wid bad boof puffed, puff, puffed, yuff, tuff, puff, puffed, yuff, tuff, puff, puffed, yuff, tuff, puff, puffed, yuff. He couldn't hold his blouse down. So he thought, "I know what I'll do. I'll climb up on the roof and I'll chide down the slimney." So while the wid bad boof was climbing up on the roof to chide down the slimney, the piddleg ran in the kitchen, got him a pot of boiling water hotter. And he set the pot of boiling water hotter in the pyre face. So when the wid bad boof climbed up on the roof to chide down that slimney, he landed in that pot of boiling water hotter and he said, "Ouch." So then the piddleg ran back into the kitchen, got him a narp shife. He came back, cut the wid bad boof open, got his two little brothers out, and they lived happily ever after.
All right.
I don't know how in the world you do that.
You have to have a warped mind, and trust me, I have a warped mind.
You ought to hear the one about the snake.
The one about the snake that Terry was talking about. I practiced this one a couple times before I tried it in public. There's going to be a hissing contest in the snake village. Mama Snake wanted her baby snake to be the pit hissing champion, so she sent him out to the pit to hiss. He hissed in every pit he could find to hiss in, because he won't be the hissingest pit hisser if hissed in a pit. He hissed up high, he hissed down low, he hissed just anywhere he could go. Hissed on the ceiling, he hissed on the floor, and he hissed and hissed and hissed some more. He hissed in the corner, he hissed on the wall. He wanted to be the hissingest pit hisser of them all. So he hissed in every pit he could find to hiss in, because he won't be the hissingest pit hisser that ever hissed in a pit. So he had hissed in all the pits in the snake village except the neighbor's pit. He never had hissed in the neighbor's pit. So one day Mama Snake told him to go over and ask the neighbors if he could practice hissing in their pit. So he went to ask the neighbors if he could practice hissing in their pit. And the neighbors wouldn't let him hiss in their pit. So he came back and told Mama Snake the neighbors wouldn't let him hiss in their pit. Mama Snake got really hissed off because she could remember way back when the neighbors didn't even have a pit to hiss in. I was telling you guys earlier that the procedure that Brother Terry had today, I had two of those back in 2014 where they shock your heart to try to get it in rhythm. Mine would stay in for just a few days and it would go back out again. But I remember the first time that I went to have my heart shocked, I was in the pre-op room. They had hooked my IV up and blood pressure and everything. So the anesthesiologist comes to get me. He goes, "Mr. Parrott," said, "are you ready?" I said, "Yeah, let's go." So he takes me down to the OR. He wheels me in there. It's dark and it's cold. I'm laying there on my back. And all of a sudden, I realize they're getting ready to shock my heart. I literally could be a heartbeat away from facing God. So I quit joking. Nothing was funny. Probably for the first and only time in my life, nothing was funny. I got dead serious. So the anesthesiologist said, Mr. Parrott said, are you ready? I said, yeah, let's go. So I have had about 17 surgeries in my life. I've been put to sleep many, many times. And every time that I've ever been put to sleep, I would feel myself kind of starting to get dizzy and then gradually slip off into la-la land. Well, this time when the anesthesiologist said, Mr. Parrott, are you ready? I said, yeah, let's go. That's the last thing I remembered. And when I started coming to, I thought I heard somebody laughing. So I kind of turned my head. There stood Dr. Schoen and his nurse and the anesthesiologist just bah-ha-ha-ha-ha. So when I got to where I could speak, I said, guys, did I miss the party? Dr. Schoen said, Mr. Parrott said, you were the party. I go, what do you mean? He said, I don't know how you did it, but just before you went completely out, you told us the funniest story about a snake hissing in a pit. Guys, it's untelling what I said. And there's probably thinking, and he says he's a preacher? Yeah, right.
That's good. Well, we're getting close to the end of the hour, so I want to make sure that anyone who has a question has an opportunity to ask it. So any other questions?
Donnie, how big is the congregation that you and your son are ministering to?
We have two services on Sunday morning. We have a 9 o'clock service and an 11 o'clock service. In the 9 o'clock service, we run about 100. And in the 11 o'clock service, we'll run probably 200 to 250. We have Sunday school in between the two services. And then we have a Wednesday night service, which every church that I'd ever pastored, I pastored three different churches before this. And all of them were little country churches with congregations of about 40 to 50. I also have three internet radio broadcasts. Mine's called The Gospel Truth. It's a 30-minute internet radio broadcast. I will also send the information out to the VIP list where you can have that. And I take our service here at Souls Harbor on Sunday morning, and I make an hour radio broadcast for Souls Harbor, so that way you can hear Brad preach sometimes. So when I get finished, I'll send the information where you can, if you want to receive my Donnie Daily Gems, and then also send the information for our internet radio broadcast in case you'd be interested in any of that.
So when you got ordained, did you do so in the Pentecostal realm, or how did that work?
Yeah, it was in a Pentecostal church where I got ordained. Something that I have always done in my over 43 years now of ministry, you will never hear me knocking another denomination, any other nationality, any other skin color, any other language. In fact, I tell people, if you want to get Pastor Donnie riled up, you let him hear you talk about another church or another denomination. There's good in all of them. And in fact, I have a saying, I wish we could take denominationalism and wad it up and throw it in the garbage can, because as far as I'm concerned, that's where it belongs.
I did a neat thing last night. Right around Thanksgiving, our city has an ecumenical service, and all like 30 churches in the city of Madison come together and they have a Thanksgiving service, and then they donate non-perishable things to the food pantries in the area and things like that. But it was really neat to hear all the different worship styles and things like that. It was really, really a very blessed time.
That's absolutely awesome. I can just picture God sometimes sitting up in heaven, looking down at all of us who claim to be his children, and just shake his head and probably think, why can't my children get along? Why can't my children love each other? Why do they have to be fussing and fighting and thinking their church is better than everybody else? It probably breaks God's heart to see how we as professing Christians act sometimes.
I agree with you, Donnie. Have you recorded any of your music?
I've got a CD that I just made with my little Victor Reader stream one time. It's got the Three Little Pigs story on it. It's got the Hissing Pit story. It's got one that I do about the three little rabbits. And God gave Lisa a story back probably in the early 2000s when she was a teenage Sunday school teacher at House of Prayer to her Sunday school class. It's called the Ben Jones story. That is a story that will touch your heart. And on that CD, I've got Lisa singing a song in our church service called At the Feet of Jesus. And I've got a song that I wrote on there. Back in 1992, the number one song of that year was Billy Ray Cyrus's Achy Breaky Heart. Lisa and I were youth pastors at Seven Pines Pentecostal Church, where we ended up pastoring the last 2 years of our pastorship. And all of our young people was going around singing, "Don't Tell My Heart, My Achy Breaky Heart." So one night at youth service, I told him, I said, I'm going to have to write gospel lyrics to Achy Breaky Heart. So I went home, went to bed. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and had the words on my heart. So I went over to my desk, sat down at my typewriter. I guess you guys remember what those are. And within about 10 minutes, I had my gospel lyrics to Achy Breaky Heart, which I call it Happy, Happy Heart. And I actually bought the musical soundtrack to Achy Breaky Heart. So that song is on that recording. I'll have to play that for you guys sometime.
Donnie, do you have that in a folder where you could put it in a VIP box or in our folder and I can make it available to people?
Absolutely, I will do that. It'll have my four stories, then it'll have my song, Happy Happy Heart, and then it will have Lisa's song. And in the one that I do, Happy Happy Heart, you know, in that song, sometimes he goes, woo-woo. There was a faith-based rehabilitation facility for women called Beth's Blessing that I went to once a week and taught a class. And those girls came to House of Prayer. That was their home church. And when I would point at them, when you hear on the recording the woo-woo, that's those girls from the rehab center that was there that night. But I will definitely put that in the VIP Dropbox, Terry. Thank you for telling me about that.
Cool. That ought to be fun. Okay, one last chance for a question as we get right up on the hour here. Once again, Donnie, we thank you so much for agreeing to be this month's guest on this program. And my goodness, you are a great addition to our site. You are such a blessing and an inspiration to all of us with your humor and things like that. And so thank you again. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Hope to see a whole lot more of you on the site.
What about me? You want to wish me a happy Thanksgiving too?
I thought you went in your case. I mean, your box.
I snuck back out.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you too. And you have fun. Don't let anybody run you over on Black Friday. It's pretty wild out there.
And no more accidents.
Thank you, guys. This has truly been an honor. You was asking me earlier about, you know, some of the highlights of my ministry. This is going to be one that I'm going to remember. So thank you, guys, for giving me this opportunity. I love doing stuff like this.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.